Would you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Galatians and continue our journey through this wonderful book. Last week, I talked to you about called before birth, and today we will talk about called for God's purpose. We've seen that Paul believed that salvation and calling, his salvation and calling, and to extrapolate no one's or anyone's, had nothing to do with him. God had done it. He tells us that it happened before he was born. It's all sovereign grace. So this salvation that Paul talks about, his gospel, so we need to kind of make that connection in our head. This gospel that arises in God and is accomplished by God needs nothing added from man. Now, I'm going to read to you a couple of scriptures. First, in Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're going to talk about God's calling, because this concept that Paul is reminding these Galatians of, and continues in all of his writings, it's a theme through all of his writings, is not a new theme, it's an old thing. So Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7, and this is the Lord talking to his people. It says, "The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand, and he redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 20. We're not going to elaborate on all of this today. There's things that could be said about all of this. Time doesn't allow us to get into all of this. I'm sorry. 1 Samuel chapter 12. It will come back up, I'm sure, because it's a main theme of Scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20. I think you'll catch the context. "Then Samuel said to the people, 'Do not fear. You have done all this wickedness. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great namesake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good in the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king." So the context of this is the people have rejected Samuel, said, "We want a king, we want to be like all the other nations," and broke Samuel's heart. He went to the Lord. The Lord said, "Don't worry, Samuel." He says, "They've not rejected you, they've rejected me." Now, again, there's so much that could be said about this. They had legitimate reasons to reject Samuel because he was old and his sons were not Samuel. They were corrupt. And they didn't want to be, they had legitimate reasons. But nonetheless, regardless of what they thought were, and what we might think were their legitimate reasons, God said, "They rejected me." And as in Deuteronomy, because it is a theme, Samuel says to them, "Yes, if you disobey, God will sweep you away and your kings." And he did. He swept them all away. So you can't find a king of Israel today. But he said, I'll not forsake you. He'll never forsake his people for his great name's sake, because he has pleased, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. So he said, you've done this thing, but don't go running after other stuff. Don't go making it worse. So the Lord judges and corrects, but he never casts away. And he does all of this in his grace and his power. So we looked at Paul's message, his calling, where it came from. We also said that Paul did not get this message from any man. He received it from Jesus. And I didn't read any of this. Let me read some of this. Verse 11 of chapter 1 of the book of Galatians. And I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. So that's the end of a period, and we'll look at some of this today. So Paul said he didn't get his message from any man. As Chuck Swindoll says, there's three negatives here in 11 and 12. He said it's not according to man, not from man, and Paul was not taught it. So it's not a gospel that man made up. It's not according to them. It's not from them. Didn't come from any man. And Paul was not taught it by any man. In verse 15, Paul indicates that his calling and his salvation were before his birth. Now, we're not going to go back and look at all these scriptures, but there's examples of it here, and you're aware of them. Jacob was chosen before Esau, or over Esau before they were born. Esau was first, Jacob was chosen, because God can do that. Isaiah and Jeremiah and Samson were all called before they were born, as was John the Baptist. I go again to all the details. Paul says he was in that same. Now, any Jew who was reading Paul would make the connections if they were familiar with Scripture at all. So I bring all this back up again so that we can look at the purpose and direction of Paul's salvation and call. Every person who is called to salvation is also called to Christian service. Ephesians 2. You're familiar with it. Let me just read it. By grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. A whole bunch of past tense concepts there that include our salvation, that include what God will make us, or his workmanship, and that we're to walk in that. So we cannot say that God calls us to salvation and that's it. We are called to salvation, and we are also called to service. In verse 16 of Galatians 1, Paul reveals the purposes, and it gets me to my title, I'm so glad whenever I get to my title. You know, just makes the whole thing come together, you know. He says, here's his purpose. To reveal his son in me, and that I may preach him among the Gentiles. So, let's look at this couple things. One, to reveal his son. And so let's look at some scriptures about the purpose of God, not just for the Apostle Paul, but for us all. We're gonna skip around here and look at some scriptures. Here's some scriptures you're familiar with. At least this one. Romans chapter 8. And we'll take up reading where everybody stops. Okay, Romans chapter 8, we'll read verse 29. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, whom he called, these he also justified, whom he justified, these he also glorified. So he takes it clear to the end. Paul says that we've been called to be made into the image of his son, conformed to the image of his son. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll just kind of work our way through scripture here. And there's other references to this, so we'll just look at a few of them. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So here he says we're being transformed, and with unveiled face. So it's a reference back to Moses. We're exposed to the glory of God, like in a mirror. Has to do with the same thing he wrote about in 1 Corinthians, that the old time mirrors were distorted and we couldn't actually see very well. But here he's referring to even through that we're being changed from glory to glory by the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 3. Excuse me. Verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on a new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Excuse me. So here he zeroes in specifically on this process of sanctification, where we're made new and we're made according to the image of Christ. And then one final scripture, 1 John chapter 3. And some of you are probably familiar with this passage, I would hope that you are. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. For the world does not know us because it did not know him. Can you see that there's an identification going on there? That we're identified with the Son? The world doesn't know him, it doesn't know us. I can't elaborate on that anymore, but there's more profundity there than probably we can grasp. Beloved, now are we children of God, and it is not yet revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he, or the Lord, is pure. So, at the end of all things, this sanctifying process, this revealing process, this work where God is at work with us, making his, we're his workmanship, and he's making us like unto his Son. Finally, at the end, it will be complete. And it will be finished. So we kind of went through this process here. And that's what the Apostle Paul said. Paul said, I was called so that Jesus Christ could be revealed in my life. Now, go back to Galatians. Remember what he says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's life is for the Lord. And so it should be for all of us. I'm going to talk about some things that are probably going to be very sensitive to some because it goes counter to what is often talked about, and it perhaps goes counter to a lot of Christian culture. We've not been saved to be called to ease and comfort, but so that God, through the Holy Spirit, can reveal Jesus Christ in our lives, to us and to those around us. And his life, the life of Christ, should be that which is put on display as we make decisions and follow him. Wherever he has placed us in this world. Folks, please think with me. I can't make application to all of this, but please think with me. Wherever he has made application, wherever he has placed us in this world, it doesn't matter. Colossians 3:11 said it doesn't matter whether we're slave or free. Christ is all in all, young or old. It never stops. Rich or poor, it never stops. Whether you're in a family or whether you're alone. Whether you have a nice boss or an angry boss. Whether you have a lot of money or a little. I said rich or poor. A lot of money or a little money. It doesn't matter. His goal, his desire, his calling is to reproduce Christ in us so that Jesus Christ can be revealed, so that we'll see him and so that the world around us will see him in us. He changes us as we behold him. His Spirit draws us to gaze upon him. So it's not a two-part thing. The Spirit of God is placed within us to help us worship and adore and draws us to Christ and helps us to gaze upon him. That's why the Apostle Paul said, you know, even we look through a mirror, we have unveiled faces, we look through a mirror, we see him, and we go from glory to glory. Because we're supposed to be walking and growing in the Lord. We're supposed to be changing, and as we're changing, the world can see us. See Christ in us, rather. Remember what John said, that the world will hate us because it hated him. I've got more notes here, folks, than I have time to talk about all this stuff. And I'm even now, the old things I decided not to put in here are trying to sneak back in. Let's go forward and then we'll go back. So let's go forward to kind of a modern time. Since World War II, we have experienced an almost unprecedented economic expansion. The world has, but especially the United States. And I can't go into all the details, untouched by the war, basically, and et cetera, all kinds of things that went on here. And every single one of us who's grown up here has grown up in this time, in this atmosphere. Because the church, almost in every generation, at some point or another, fails to be what God wants it to be. It takes on the form of the culture rather than transforming the culture. It takes on the culture. And one of the results within the church is that believers began to see economic blessing as a result of following Jesus. And this changed the Christian culture. One example I'll give you of this is Christian bookstores. How many have been to a Christian bookstore recently? How many know where there is one? Okay. Good old Jacob. If you need to find one, Jacob knows where to get one. When I grew up, Christian bookstores you would go to were full of commentaries, history, and theology. And while I was going to those stores, the stuff that they stocked on their shelves changed from that to self-help books, and novels. Christian self-help books. And now those stores have mostly disappeared. And that same trend of topic shift has dominated our pulpits. We'll talk more about this in just a second. But that, because it's dominated our pulpits, will they survive? And we're actually seeing the results of that now, that a lot of those churches, denominations even, as wide as denominations, are disappearing. People are leaving because those churches don't meet their needs. They don't know that's what's going on, but those churches are no longer telling them, standing behind a sacred desk and reading from a holy book and telling them what they need to live and thrive and prosper. And it's not what the people think it is. They go and they hear, and over a period of time they realize there's no life in it, it doesn't work. And I'm not talking about necessarily spiritual people. Now let me go back in time for just a minute, because Paul said he was called not only that Christ would be displayed in his life, but that he was also called to preach him. Let me read it to you here. Verse 16, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Paul was given a specific message, and we looked at this somewhat in the past, where as it was shared, when Ananias came to pray for him, he said, this is what you're going to do, Paul. Paul understood this is what he was going to do. He's going to go to the Gentiles, and he was going to suffer. And so I'm not going to go back into all that, but we saw that. But Paul was called to preach Jesus Christ. It's Jesus who changes us. It's Jesus who saves us. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just quickly here. Follow along with me. It says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What was Paul called to preach? Him, in verse 16 of Galatians 1, Jesus Christ. He's going to reveal Christ in me, I'm going to preach him. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And in my speech and my preaching And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Why are the bookstores gone? The bookstores are gone because they're absent the power of God. Why are the pulpits gone? The pulpits are gone because they're absent the power of God. Why are they absent the power of God? Because they have been sharing things other than Christ, other than Him. It's Jesus who changes us. And this wonderful testimony here in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul's fear-filled yet simple words about the crucified Christ. That simple, singularly focused message is what brought salvation wherever Paul went. Now think with me, we're moving through here. Hopefully we're going someplace. Most of Paul's epistles are in two parts. The first part is doctrine. And in that first part, he covers God's holiness. I'm being very brief here, but he covers God's holiness, our sin, and how Jesus delivers us. The second part is about life and living and holiness and joy and peace and relationships, etc. In other words, it's how to apply the doctrine that Paul put in the first part of the letters. Galatians is no different. He does this in Galatians. And we've looked at it. He did it in Philippians. He did it in Ephesians. He does it repeatedly. So, first part's doctrine. Second part is how to make application or how to apply the doctrine that he's given you to life. The second part is built upon the first. And it is subservient to the first. You can have the most wonderful marriage and still go to hell. You can be a joyous person, and I know some. I know some people who are just intrinsically buoyant. I really don't like them, but they're just intrinsically full of joy. And they can, and without Jesus, they will die. When they die, they will go to hell. So why are you saying that, preacher? Because we focused on the fruit and not the tree. Paul said, I've been called to preach Christ. So there must be a balance in this. There's been so much emphasis. Please think with me. There's been so much emphasis on raising a family and how to have a marriage and how to have financial blessing, and frankly, in many instances, just being left alone, that too many, probably very many Christians believe that is their calling. That's why God saved them. God did not save you so you could have a good marriage. God did not save you so that you could have financial blessing. He did not save you so that you would have a sense of peace in your life at all times. God saved you to reveal His Son in you. God saved you so that you would serve Him in doing that. God saved you so that you would show Him. You would reveal Jesus. He saved us to reveal Himself in us so that we could share Him. When I said that Christian bookstores were filled with self-help books, they weren't bad books. They were okay books. They were good books, perhaps. Although everybody had a different opinion. But they were books about how to be a good wife and how to be a good husband and how to be a good parent, how to be a good financial steward, how to be a good church member. All sorts of things that probably as a Christian you'd be interested in wanting to know. I hope you're thinking with me here. Every one of those books that did not begin with a presentation of the gospel that included the fact that all men were lost without Jesus. That included the fact that our salvation was a gift of God's sovereign grace. That included the fact that the thing that this book was about was not nearly as important as what God had done for us. Jesus said, listen, even don't you rejoice the fact that demons follow your demons obey you. Rather rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Even today, my email box gets full of books. I just got them from great people and from great publishing houses. I got books about how to be a father and how to be a parent. Are you telling me that no saint before we had publishing houses knew how to be a parent? Is there not a Holy Spirit? I said this has affected Christian culture. I can't get into all the details of it today. And we perhaps will at some later time. But let me just ask you to lift your eyes with me, lift your thinking with just a little bit. Have you ever considered it God's calling? Maybe something higher than your family or the American dream. Are you willing, if it is? I remember years ago reading a missionary story about a fellow who went to India, and it was difficult, and his wife went mad. And while he was translating the Bible into the native language, his wife was locked in the next room, a screaming, raving lunatic. I remember decades ago when I was in Bible class and we looked at films. How many remember what a film was? You know, a thing went when you. And we looked at a movie called Peace Child. And maybe some of you have seen it. If not, I would suggest it's probably on YouTube. I suggest you look at it. It's about a man who felt called to the headhunters. And he went in into the native peoples. I'm not going to get into detail because I'll mess it all up. It's been so many years. But he went into the native peoples where the tribes would war and fight and kill each other and eat each other. And I watched him, the dramatized scene of it, of course, was he and his wife going there. And there was the fellow and his wife in the canoe. And I said to myself, what kind of man would take his wife into that situation? And the answer came back, a man who was called by God. And a wife who was called by God. We have been so inundated for generations in this culture of blessing and grace that our expectation of what a victorious Christian life is has been lowered and lowered and lowered and lowered. Are you willing? Paul says in verse 10, chapter 1, do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. John said the world will hate us because it hates him. Again, I can't go on, but would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, I pray you touch our hearts with your word. We are all called, every believer is called to be a servant. Someone who bows before you and says, please, Lord, do your work within me. It's all a matter of your grace, but that's the way it works. Lord, perhaps for too long we have been comfortable with just being blessed. We have maybe forgotten about our missionary heroes of the past. We've maybe forgotten that the fellow who later in the book that we're studying talks about love, joy, peace, patience, and all of those wonderful things that we want. Also talks about how he was whipped and beaten and shipwrecked and hungry and despised of all men. So, Lord, as we bow our hearts before you, we ask you to reveal yourself in us. Do your work within us. And if your work within us causes us to walk differently from the world, we rejoice. That's the way it should be. If your work within us causes us to walk differently than this comfortable Christian culture that has encapsulated most of our churches, let it be so. Make us your bondservants, I pray. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.